Welcome to Tardi Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we're going to be studying Parak Gimel, Chapter 3 in Kohelet. If I asked you to name the most famous passage in Kohelet, you'd probably think immediately of our Parak, Parak Gimel. To everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. That biblical verse has such universal resonance. It actually became the basis for a hit song back in the 1960s. It's been quoted in countless eulogies, graduation speeches, and moments when people want to sound wise about life's natural rhythms. But here's what's strange. When you encounter these verses in their actual context, right after the crushing despair of chapters 1 and 2, they hit you completely differently. Remember where we just came from. Shlomo systematically tested every pathway to meaning and found them all wanting. Gamze Hevel Ruach is also Hevel chasing after the wind. He ended Perek Bet completely stuck, hating life itself. So when Perek Gimel opens with what sounds like balanced wisdom about seasons and timing, you have to wonder, what's really going on here? How does this even fit? Has Shlomo suddenly found peace with life's natural rhythms? Or is it something else happening, something darker than those happy graduation speeches would suggest? So let's read carefully and see what we discover. L'chol zman ve'et l'chol chefetz tachan ha-shamayim. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Wait, before we get swept up in the familiar rhythm, let's look at the Hebrew. Think of that word chefetz. Most translations say purpose or matter. But chefetz actually means desire, something you want. So this opening might be better understood as, for every desire there is a season and a time for everything one wants under heaven. What does that matter? Because Shlomo isn't making abstract observations about cosmic timing. He's talking about something much more personal. Our deepest impulses, our fundamental values. Watch how this develops. Eight la ledet, Ve'et lamut, time to be born and a time to die. Eit la ta'at, time to plant. Ve'et la kornatua, and a time to pluck up what is planted. Think about eit la ledet, the desire to give birth, to bring new life into the world. This is one of the most fundamentally beautiful human impulses. Someone who devotes himself to this desire might think he's arrived at some kind of absolute truth, an absolute good in the world. But notice what comes next. The eight lamut, a time to die. Even this life-giving desire has its opposite moment, when the complete reverse is suddenly necessary and appropriate. The pattern continues. Eight laharog, the eight lirpo, time to kill, time to heal. Eight lifrots, the eight livnot, time to break, time to build up. Continuing, eight lifkot, the eight lischok, time to weep, time to laugh. Eight svod, time to mourn, time to dance. These aren't neutral activities. Eight leaf coat, when you've lost someone precious, weeping doesn't just happen. It's morally necessary. It's how you honor the loss. But for eight leaf chok, eventually that same weeping becomes inappropriate. Life calls you back to joy. The list continues through Pasukret, covering every conceivable human impulse, seeking and losing, keeping and discarding, loving and hating, war and peace. There's a time for all of it. And then, just when you think this is maybe a nice thing, a profound piece of wisdom about seeking balance in life, suddenly the hammer falls. Pasuk Tet. Ma yitron ha'oseh ba'asher hu amel. What profit has the worker from his toil? Wait, ma yitron? That's the same phrase that we saw in Parak Aleph. Mayitron la'adam b'chol amalo. What profit has Adam from all his toil? Suddenly, we're back to Shlomo's central complaint. But how does that complaint connect to that beautiful meditation on seasons? Well, let's read further. Shlomo explains. Ra'iti et inyan asher natan elokim livnei ha'adam la'anopo. He says, I've seen the business. Now, here's the thing. Inyan is never positive in Kohelet. In Parak Aleph, wisdom was called Inyan Ra, an unhappy business. And notice, Livnei Adam, to the children of Adam. We're back to our narrative thread about humanity after the expulsion from Gan Eden, after they ate from the forbidden fruit of knowledge of good and evil. But what exactly is this torturous business that Hashem has given us? How could these seasons be an unhappy business? Well, Shlomo tells us exactly what his issue is in the very next pasuk. He says, "Etakol asa yafe b'ito." Hashem has made everything beautiful in its time. And we desperately want to be able to say this is good, absolutely good. I can count on it. For example, this value, Eila Ledet, bringing life into the world. This is always right. I can build my life around this principle. We crave moral absolutes, but we can't have them because Ve'et Lamut, because there's also a time to die, and we don't control that timing. So in other words, in this world, everything shifts. Nothing lasts under the sun. That's true not just for physical things, like buildings or palaces. It's even true, Shlomo discovers, for values. The stuff we believe is right in the world, you can't count on even that. It shifts with time. There's nothing you can point to and say, there, that's it. There, that's the absolute truth. That's what I want. And that feels like torture, for the reason Shlomo goes on to explain in this pasuk. Gamit ha'olam natan belibam. He says, Hashem put eternity into man's heart. In other words, not only do values shift, but we humans have eternity in our hearts. We have this deep desire to understand the whole picture, to grasp the totality of existence, olam. Mibli asher lo yimtza ha'adam et ha'maaseh asher asah Elokim. We can't find it. We can't see eternity. If somehow we could see eternity like Hashem does, we can make sense of the meaning of values in some absolute sense. But we can't. We're trapped in time, seeing only fragments. And living in time, the best we can say is, well, now looks like a good time to give birth. But even as we say that, we know with dread that there will ultimately be a time to die. This is what Shlomo means by the inyan that Hashem is given to be busy with. It's not just that physical things don't last. It's that even values, even moral intuitions, shift and change according to divine timing, timing that we cannot grasp. So given all of this, what does Shlomo conclude? He says, Yadati ki ein tov bahem, ki im lismoa v'laso tov v'chayav. He says, I perceive that there is nothing better for people than to be joyful and to do good in their lives. But notice the limitation, v'chayav, in their lives. Since we can't see the eternal picture, we're stuck with present-focused ethics. Do your best here and now. Try to find joy. Try to do some good as best as you can. Tell as best as you can tell what's good in your life, because that's all the perspective you have. But then comes a crucial distinction. Yadati et kol asher yaseh Elokim hu yeh le'olam. Ein lo'osif b'menu ve'en ligroa. Here's the key insight. While human values shift with eight, with zman, time, kol asher yaseh Elokim hu yeh le'olam, whatever God does endures forever. God's perspective transcends time. He sees when it's truly eight la'ledet and when it's truly eight la'mut. Ve'Elokim asah shir u'milfanav. God has done it so that people fear before him. And this recognition of our limitation should inspire yirah, shir u'milfanav, humility. And now comes a devastating observation about human justice. Shlomo says, "Ba'od ra'iti tachat ha'shemesh, mekom ha'mishpat, shama harasha. Mekom ha'tzedek, shama harasha." He says, "I saw under the sun that in the place of justice there was wickedness. The place of righteousness, even there was wickedness." Why does this keep happening? Because humans trapped in time can't see the full picture. We don't understand when it's truly eight for mishpat, when it's eight for rachamim, when it's time for judgment, time for mercy. So our attempts at justice become corrupted. Amarti ani b'libi et ha-tzadik v'et ha-rasha yishpot ha-elokim. He says, true justice requires God's eternal perspective. Ki eit l'chol chefetz v'al kol ha-maaseh sham, because the ability to see eit l'chol chefetz, the proper time for every desire, that can only be achieved through God. And this leads to a very humbling realization. Amarti ani b'libi al dibrat b'nei ha-adam l'baram ha-elokim. He says, I said in my heart with regard to the people of man, that God is Liparam, God is testing them. Testing them to show them that they are but beasts, behema. Wait, after all our sophisticated moral reasoning, after our ability to discern eight and Zman, Shlomo says we're like animals? Why? Ki mikreb neha adam o mikreh behema, mikreh achad lahem. He says, what happens to the children of man, to bnei ha'adam, and what happens to the beasts, to the animals, is the same. Mikreh achad, kemot zeh, kein mot zeh. Just as one dies, just as man dies, animals do. Mikreh achad, the same fate. Despite all our moral complexity, we die just like animals. Umotar ha'adam min ha'be'ima ayin, ki hakol hevel. Man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is hevel. This phrase actually makes it into our Yomim Noraim davening. And hakol hevel, here's that word again. Like hevel, Adam's murdered son, whose very name meant vapor. So where does that leave us? Ra'iti ki ein tov me'asher yismach ha'adam b'ma'asav ki hu chako. He says, so I saw there is nothing better than that a man should just rejoice in his work, for that's his portion, the chako. We're back to the simple prescription, find some contentment in daily work, but now for a new reason. Not just because grand pathways to meaning fail, but because even our moral framework is unstable from our time-bound perspective. Who can bring us to see the future? We're trapped in the present moment, unable to grasp the eternal timing that could make sense of all these shifting values. What has chapter 3 accomplished? It's taken the Hevel problem and pushed it into the most unsettling territory yet. It's not just that our achievements crumble as our bodies die. It's that even our deepest moral convictions, our sense of what's always right and always wrong, these too are subject to divine timings, and we cannot master that. When people live in a world where all values seem relative, where what feels absolutely right today might be wrong tomorrow, how does it make them feel? The answer is not very good. We crave absolutes as humans. We want to say, this is always good. It's always the right time for X. I can build my life on that foundation. But from our limited perspective, trapped in time, we can't have that certainty. Only God, who sees Meirosh Va'ad Sof, understands from beginning to end. Only He understands the proper eight, the proper time for every chefetz, for every desire. And that's perhaps the most devastating realization yet. We can cope with rivers flowing meaninglessly to the sea. We can accept that our names will be forgotten. But the idea that our values themselves are unstable, that what feels morally absolute is actually time-dependent, this shakes the very foundation of meaning. And yet, Shlomo doesn't end in complete despair. There's still Yismach Adam b'Ma'asav. Let a man rejoice in his work. Even if we can't see the eternal picture, even if our moral framework is limited, we can still find some contentment in doing our best with the perspective that we have. The journey continues deeper into the mystery of how to live meaningfully in a world where even meaning itself seems subject to forces beyond our understanding. Today's study is dedicated by Helen and Moshe Sassover in memory of their beloved father and grandfather, Ted Ordon, Mordechai Ben Ephraim, and Miriam Golda, in commemoration of his 10th Yahrzeit. His family is forever grateful for his devotion to family, vision, courage, and optimism. May the merit of our collective learning elevate his neshama and bring unity and peace to Klal Yisrael. Thank you for the opportunity to study together.